Aaron Rodgers on his first pass in team drills threw an interception. We're going to hear Rodgers in a second in full, his first post-practice comments as a Steeler, to hear if that interception was on purpose, which is my guess. Ben Roethlisberger would do that all the time. And there's also news that DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers are suite mates. And DK Metcalf found out the hard way when he knocked on the door and realized that Aaron Rodgers, I think, was using that toilet. And I tweeted out, there's something quaint about guys who are worth $500 million sharing the same crapper. You know, like, if these guys are not at St. Vincent in practices in back in Pittsburgh,
They're using their own crappers.
They're either using their own crappers or they're at some nice hotel.
You got to use the room spray if it's really going to get nasty in there, though. You got to do a little, like, courtesy spritz.
I bet they don't have enough rooms at St. Vincent College where only a couple of guys, like the suite mate situation where two guys share one bathroom. I bet there's some situations where it's like one common bathroom for about 15 to 20 dudes.
Man, and you can't put all the offensive linemen together because think of some of the
and I wouldn't want to go
evil
back.
That's coming out of there.
I wouldn't want to go back to living that way. I don't like crapping in public bathrooms.
I got over it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, you just got to go with it. There are times.
Are you like a mate conversation while you're going in there, guy?
Mate conversation? Are you a sociopath?
I've had that happen to me where I'm in there to like go pee or wash my hands or something. And
if you are sitting
in a toilet taking a dump who's trying to make
small
talk
with me. If you're taking a leak at a public urinal and somebody just says, hey, man, what's up? And they might know who you or I are or whatever. Maybe you and I are in there and I'm going to say, oh, just, you know, whatever. That's one thing. If I am in a stall and noises are being made by my body that no one wants to hear and somebody goes, how's it going over there? I would say something. I don't know, man. How do you think it's going?
I don't want to hear somebody else crap, and I don't want to smell somebody else's crap.
Here's a move I'll admit to having done. All right, you ready for this one?
Oh,
this is going to make you... No, it's like funny. It's not like gross. I'm so self-conscious about like if I'm in there and I don't know, if somebody somehow saw part of my shoe and knew it was me, the sound of me taking like a truly horrid dump, I will flush the toilet as I've sat down on it because usually they flush pretty loud. Crap while the flush noise is going and try to mask the sound of what I'm doing.
What a high-speed crap.
It's like a drive-by crap in a sense.
You don't want people to look down and say, oh, those are Mulls and shoes. He's having a problem in there.
Even probably more realistically.
You just said minutes ago that you're very confident
I don't have a problem going, but like...
But you still don't want people to judge your craps.
Say somebody walks in, okay, and I know that I'm going to be out of there soon, that it's going to be a very quick in and out because it's coming, you know, it's almost leaking out of me, let's say.
Oh, God.
No, not literally. I do not want to go... make that horrible noise, pretty much be out of there 20 seconds later, 30 seconds later, and have that person go, oh, that was Mueller in there voiding his bowels.
I don't get the people that are so like comfortable doing it that they can do it with like a door open.
We talking Lyndon Baines Johnson? He would famously conduct cabinet meetings on the crap.
No, I'm saying that there's a lot of people like that out there.
What do you mean, in public? Who can poop with the door open?
No, I'm saying like even at home with a spouse, like you're going and the door's open and they're like milling around either in the bathroom too or like
the only reason
in the adjacent bedroom.
No, I will not keep the door open when Alex is around and she would not do the same thing. I mean, if we had to, we probably would. But like the only reason I would is like if Ace was wandering around and I wanted to keep an eye on him maybe.
Yeah.
But like that's a little...
That's different.
That's a little kid.
Yeah, that's way different. All right, Aaron Rodgers addressing Jeff Hathorn and others today at the end of practice. Let's get his thoughts in on his first Steelers training camp practice.
First day, Aaron. Oh, it was good. Good to be out here with the guys.
What's it like just being out here at St. Vincent College, and how is this kind of different from your many other training camps you've...
Not actually way different. We were at the dorms at beautiful St. Norbert's College for 14 years, first 14 years of my career. And in those years, I had to go from the third floor to the second floor. And finally, about year six or seven, I was on the first floor. So I'm on the first floor here, which is a good start. I got DK as my suite mate, so we're sharing a toilet and a shower. But I love this idea, this opportunity to be out here in the Trobe and to stay here and connect with the guys.
Do choice to have DK as a suite mate, or is that a Mike Tomlin assignment?
No, I was surprised. I was here Tuesday night, and not many other guys were here other than the rookies. And when I got in the room, I realized we were sharing something, and I was, you know, secretly kind of hoping it wasn't a big lineman or something. Maybe somebody had, you know, cared about their hygiene a little bit. So when I walked in, I saw like a standard suitcase. I said, "Oh, I think it's gonna be good. This is probably DK." So.
Have you had roommates before in training camp?
I have, yeah. I've had a lot of different roommates over the years. Brett Goode, our long snapper forever, probably my favorite roommate at St. Norbert's. We used to play a lot of pranks on some of the guys, and had some pranks played on us as well. But, yeah, it's good.
How would you say the relationship between you and DK is developing on the field, and maybe how things went the first day?
I think we completed one out of a couple that we had his way. But, you know, DK and I have worked out in the off season together. Got a good relationship. We talked about, a lot of football stuff. We FaceTime. We texted during the off season after mini camp. So we got a good relationship. It's going to just keep on growing.
And one thing that's happened since you signed on was the trade for Johnny Smith and Jalen Ramsey. Career, have you had rosters and moments where you had dual tight ends like you might have here in Freiermuth and Smith? I mean, what do you think about those two, how you can work with them?
Yeah, I mean, we always valued the tight end in Green Bay. We had, you know, we kept four many times over the years. But these guys, you know, the four that we got, the top four, all have unique skill sets and all can do different things. So, you know, I like it. You know, the tight end position, like the fullback position, has been undervalued, I would say, the last few years. But being able to have... you know, being able to go in 12 personnel can be an advantage with so many teams playing nickel to 12 these days. So if you got guys that can block and also run routes, you got an advantage there.
Aaron, what expectations of yourself for this team?
Sorry, one more time.
Do you have expectations of these, for this team and of yourself?
I do, yes.
And they might be?
I'm not telling you.
Eric, can you tell us what you've been doing since OTAs till now to prepare for this season?
I've been working out. I've been hanging at the beach with my dog. As you can see by getting stalked by TMZ. I was in Tahoe for a week, but other than that, I was working out at Proactive and spending time at the beach.
And how did it work out with the team? You joined them later than you have been previously. Is there anything you had to do different to be ready for the season?
The guys came out for a few days. We had a good time. Calvin hadn't seen the ocean before, so that was cool. We had a couple nice throwing sessions, good workout sessions. We had a nice dinner at Nobu. The Dolphins kind of went by right at the perfect time, and one of the guys, I don't want to embarrass him, asked if they pay the Dolphins to do that, to go by at a certain time. So we had a lot of fun. That was a good time to have those guys out. But other than that, you know, there's been just the conditioning part's been important in the weights part, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Omar Khan said yesterday that he feels like this team is built to win a Super Bowl, to make a Super Bowl run. When you see the moves this organization has made, do you feel like this team is headed in that direction?
I think most of the 32 teams would probably say something to that accord at this time of the year. But I think that, you know, there's really only 6 to 8 that really have a legitimate chance. Sometimes it's 10 to 12, and there's teams that surprise you, but I would say on paper we're probably one of those 10 to 12.
How do you go from being on paper to being one of those legitimate 10 to 12?
I think it's coming together, you know, times like this with these 17 or so practices that we have here, and finding the chemistry and hanging out with each other in the lunchroom and snack and the different times that we have and growing together through our practice. Mike, you know, wants to practice at the hottest time of the day, which, you know, it's interesting. But I love it just because it's a stressor. You know, we see how guys respond to adversity.
Aaron, mentioned that chemistry. How do you kind of build that with guys throughout this process? A lot of guys we talked to on offense this morning really highlighted your communication. Is that a big part of it for you?
Yeah, it's the most important thing. You know, you got to be saying the right message. Art has done a really nice job of giving me the opportunity to speak up in the meetings. So I'm always just trying to let the guys know what I'm thinking. It's been great communication between Tom and Matt and Arthur and myself. And, I mean, hell, Mike was in the room this morning talking to us. So it's been a lot of fun. It really has. And I'm enjoying the process. And things are going to get better and look better as we go. But I'm excited about where we're at in day one.
Aaron, obviously it's still very early, but What is your first assessment of Will Howard, and what impresses you most about him?
I just like his approach. You know, he's a good kid. He cares about it. He works hard. He listens. He's a good note taker. He's been picking my brain. I told him last night, he was in the room, we were talking about signals. I said, what can I do for you? You know, because I want to be a support system for him and pass on anything I can. I don't want to overstep my bounds, but if he wants to learn anything or pick my brain or be in my hip pocket, I'm all for it. So I'm looking forward to growing that friendship. But he has, you know, he has all the ability and the talent, and when his time comes, I think he's going to have a great chance to be a long-term guy in the league.
Aaron, you said
two more. We got
you said on MacBay recently that
recently.
Well, a week or two ago, this might be your, look at this as it might be your last season. Do you go into the season thinking like this might be the last ride, or do you sort of just, is that a decision you'll make maybe at the end of the process?
Yeah, I might go into the season like that. Might not.
Aaron Thornhill was surprised you threw that ball that got picked.
Is it any kind of omen your first throw in team periods picked off by Patrick Queen? What is that? What goes through your mind?
And it's good to get that out the way. It's good to get it out the way. I mean, anybody that's watched me practice over the years, you know, you like to try certain throws at certain times. And anybody that's watched me in the games knows I've been pretty stellar taking care of the football over the years. So there's going to be picks for sure. I'm going to try to fit certain things in. You know, you got to deal with some sweat on the ball from time to time. So it's going to be a good challenge for me throwing this heat every single day. I look forward to it. But I'm going to throw some picks. But I'm going to throw some touchdowns, too.
What I tell you, like to try certain throws at certain times, all but said that the interception was preordained.
Pro Football Talk dug up a story from, if you remember this, about a decade ago. Titans beat reporters were tracking Mariota in camp and saying he's gone this many camp practices without an interception.
Mm-hmm.
And it got back to Rodgers that was going on down there. And he said, this is when you're like supposed to throw them.
Yeah. See?
So...
him and Ben Roethlisberger, two birds of a feather.
I don't
with
remember
that.
Ben saying he threw picks on purpose. I remember him saying he intentionally threw bad balls to see what his pass catchers were capable of catching.
But he also would throw an interception to give a guy confidence on the defensive side of the ball. I remember that distinctly.
You think he ever told the defender? You ever think he told the defenders to go extra hard on Rudolph when he was getting reps? Probably.
Wouldn't
let's
rule
be
it
honest.
Out. Refreshingly. Different than Russell Wilson, who was just a robot answering these questions drove me nuts.
Yeah.
I like when he was asked the question about what others have said, what Omar said about Super Bowl contention. And he said most teams are going to say that this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably only 6 or 8 that have a legitimate chance. And maybe you could extend that out to 10 to 12. And he said, I would put us in the 10 to 12 category.
Didn't he say, I think?
Yeah.
So he's like he didn't qualifying
even,
it a little bit.
But he didn't even say like, you
we're
know.
We're definitely one of those guys.
Yeah.
I also don't agree with him that they're one of the 10 to 12 or that you even could like think that they're one of the 10 to 12.
But still, he knew enough to not put them in like the creme de la creme class of the NFL.
He's doing the right thing in sales. He's under-promising right now, I think.
And looking to over-deliver.
And hoping he can over-deliver.
I do think, and I don't mean this as like a harsh critique of Rodgers, but he keeps saying this. He brought up again how much fun. This is a lot of fun. And he's trying to do something that only one other person did, and that's Tom Brady at 41. And that's just not how Brady would frame any of
Brady
this.
Brady was a psychopath. There was just a story that came
this
out.
This isn't fun. This is work. This is football. This is a job. We're not here to have fun. We're here
to
win.
There was just a, like, not a clickbait story, but it was just like a quotable story about Brady where they wrote up something about him admitting that he basically looked at every guy he played against, even if he had a nice handshake with a player at midfield after a game.
As like his
mortal enemies. Yeah. He didn't look at Peyton Manning as a game respect game. He like wanted to rip his head off basically and always dominate. He had that. He didn't express it the way Jordan did, but he had that Michael Jordan, like, you're probably a psycho and should seek counseling gene about him.
And Kobe Bryant was that way too.
And Kobe was just basically doing like a Fugazi ripoff Jordan routine.
And Tiger Woods before he kind of went off the deep end in life. All right. Ray Fittipaldo, his observations. How did Rodgers look in his opinion? Was Rodgers even the best quarterback today when grading throws and grading performance? other guys who stood out, maybe some who didn't. All right. We should be joined by Ray Fittipaldo shortly. Steelers Insider Post-Gazette. His visits with us are brought to you by LGKG, the born and raised Western PA injury attorneys who take your personal injury cases personally. Dom, how about while we wait for Ray, let's get Mike Tomlin in here. His thoughts on how the first day of practice went. He met with Jeff Hathorn, Ray Fittipaldo, and others once practice concluded today. Let's get to that right now.
Sorry, I was getting Ray on the phone. Can you ask that one more time?
Oh, do we have Ray right now?
Yeah, Ray's ready.
Oh, never mind. We'll get to Tomlin later. Here is Ray Fittipaldo on the fan hotline. Ray, how did Aaron Rodgers look?
Not bad. I'm sure you've heard about the interception on the first play of practice. The connection with DK Metcalf, 1 for 4 on targets to DK, so that's a work in progress, but these practices here don't matter. Start paying attention next Tuesday when they get into pads. That's when the real football is going to begin.
Confirm or deny or agree or disagree with Pony here, who thinks that Rodgers very calculated in throwing that interception, that it was done on purpose, more or less.
Mm-hmm. He didn't seem too bothered by it after practice. Pretty much said, I'm gonna throw some interceptions, and I'm also gonna throw some touchdowns. So he threw some cold water on the idea that that bothered him.
Ray, who do you think looked the best at the quarterback position today among the Steelers' four quarterbacks?
I didn't break it down yet. I do know, 1 for 4 to DK. He was 3 for 6, Rodgers was, in the three team periods. I didn't get around to looking at the numbers for Mason or Skylar Thompson or Will Howard. But, I think first day guys, I think they're going to expect a few hiccups. Two of Rodgers' passes were batted down. Derek Harmon had a bat down, and Cam Hayward also had a bat down. So it wasn't a really great first look for Aaron Rodgers here in front of the Steelers fans in Latrobe, but I'm sure it'll get better.
How did Harmon look? I know you can't evaluate much when they're not in pads, especially at his position, but did he? I always like asking this question, right? Did he have that first-round pick general aura and look about him?
Well, they came out with nickel, so he wasn't even on the field for the first team period. But when they, I think the second team period, or maybe the third guys, they did come out and debut their base, and he was in there then. Juan Thornhill came out, so if people were wondering which defensive back was going to go off the field, Juan Thornhill was the odd man out in the secondary when they went to base. I know a lot of people are going to speculate who's on the field, who's off the field. Harmon flashed a little bit, but you can glean a little bit, like watching the running backs and the receivers during these acclimation practices. Can't really do it with the linemen. There was only one player I thought today who like drew some oohs and ahs, and I guess you're only going to get that from running backs or receivers, but Caleb Johnson broke a couple of long runs, looked pretty good getting through the line of scrimmage. So, he was the one fan favorite today.
Ray, I'll follow up on that. I feel like if he has a huge camp and looks good in the preseason, we could see Johnson just take on Najee's role, and Ray and Mike just keeps Jalen Warren in his role that he's had for all these years. You're saying, I can't tell if you're agreeing with me or if that's your way of saying I'm about to say something that's going to throw cold water on that.
No, they love him, Pony. I don't know if that's going to happen, but they absolutely love that guy in that building. So that could happen. I just don't think that you would do that to Jalen Warren like before the opener, right? Like Caleb Johnson very well might be the guy, and he's going to get the bulk of the carries on first and second downs. But I think you want to see him overtake. You want to see the rookie overtake him and earn that a little bit more. I do know Jalen Warren is going to be on the field a lot, especially in passing situations. Caleb Johnson did not have a lot of experience in pass pro in college, and as a receiver, he's nowhere near being as good as Jalen Warren. But your scenario about being out there on first and second downs, I could see that perhaps sooner rather than later. I just don't know that it's going to be before the season opener.
How much can we glean about the way they used and moved around Jalen Ramsey today, and the fact that he split up and went off with the safeties when the defensive backs split up, Ray?
Well, the exact quote from Tomlin was, should we I think Brian Bacco asked the question, what should we read into Jalen lining up in the slot for the first rep? And, you know, Mike basically said, get your cameras ready. He's going to line up all over the place. So that's a little bit of a preview. Like, when Jalen talked to us yesterday, he didn't seem, like, all that enthused about moving around. But
I said that to Chris. I said, this usually guy gets here and he's all hunky-dory and excited. And I said, I couldn't tell if he just loathes meeting with the media or if he's actually a little bit, you know, disagreeable on what they're going to do with him.
I mean, maybe it's both. But, I mean, he made it a point. I'm sure you've listened to the quote. He made it a point to say, I usually travel.
Follow the best receiver. Yep.
Yeah, which means you line up with the best receiver and follow him over the field. So, it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I do know that with his skill set, when they play, you know, teams with really good tight ends, it's going to be a natural to have Ramsey just line up and, you know, blanket a really good tight end because he has that skill set. He is able to do that. But there's also going to be weeks, Pony, where he's going to have a great matchup on, you know, Jamar Chase or T. Higgins. Whatever way they want to divvy that up, you know, he's going to cover one of those guys. They're not going to have Darius Slay on Jamar Chase, right? They're going to have the guy they're paying $20 million to in that role. So I think for training camp, you're going to see him in a lot of places, but I don't really know for sure what his exact role is going to be. And we're probably not going to know until the regular season gets here.
Of these two guys who are very different body types but technically play the same position, Ray, who do you think has a chance to get more significant playing time this year, Corey Trice or Beanie Bishop?
Injuries are probably going to have to play into that for either to have a big role.
Well, Ray, one thing I'll say before you finish your answer then, because you started with injuries. I do hear in Trice's case, they talk about, they love the frame, they love the physical size and everything else, and yet kind of the way they've handled that position this offseason, it seems like, we like him. He might be our fourth cornerback, if that.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes back to the fact, I mean, this is true in any sport. How can you count on a guy that's played in six of a possible 34 games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go into a season counting on a guy who's had those types of injuries. So, but I still think they like Corey Trice. To answer your question, I don't know that either is going to have a big role unless there are injuries. But if I had to answer right now, I'd probably say Beanie Bishop just because they went out and got Ramsey and they plan to play him a lot.
Ray, who was the other outside receiver today when the first team offense was out there? Was it Austin or was it Wilson?
They came out, they debuted in just a one tight end formation. So it was DK, it was Roman Wilson, and it was Calvin Austin.
Along and who was
with
inside?
Warren in the backfield.
Who was that slot?
I believe Austin was in the slot, but don't quote me on that. I just noted that they had three receivers and only one tight end. And that probably had to do with Jonnu Smith being out with an injury. We don't know the extent of that injury, but Tomlin did say after practice that that it was minor.
All right, there you go. Great stuff from Ray Fittipaldo. Thanks, Ray.
All right, guys. Thank you. See you.
Thank you. Let's hear Tomlin now. Dom, do you have that ready, or are you still in the group chat with the producers mixing it up?
I was never in the group chat, and I do have it ready.
All right, let's hear Mike Tomlin's reaction. Let's see if his comments sync up with what we just heard Ray say about the Steelers' first training camp exercises. Yeah, see what I tell you? It wasn't ready, Malzi.
I don't know. I actually think Dom's a pretty reliable narrator there, that when he says it just shut down and the program could be a finicky one, where I don't think he's lying his way
so
out.
So he's blaming technology, though. You don't think this is a dog ate his homework situation at all?
No, I actually don't think that it's a dog ate his homework, because I think Dom is clever enough on the air that if it was dog ate the home, or if it was something that he had just not prepared, he would have just said so.
All right, let's hear Mr. Good Afternoon.
Man, really good first day. Love practice at 155. Man, the heat helped us. There's no question that heat helps physical development individually and collectively. Appreciate the fans. It's just good to be back in Latrobe, man, at St. Vincent and formally beginning this team development process. A lot of good energy today, obviously a lot to coach and learn, but we're just at the beginning of this thing. And so it's reasonable to be really excited, but they displayed that. Normal bumps and bruises associated with the first day. Nothing of any significance worth mentioning. A couple heat-related illnesses and so forth. I'd imagine guys will bounce back and continue on tomorrow. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Is Jarner Smith, was he one of the heat-related guys?
No, he can just be described as day-to-day. We'll get him out here sooner rather than later, I'm sure.
How about Cordell Patterson?
Same thing.
Mike, Aaron said it was good to get that pick out of the way on that first third of PQ as a coach. I mean, is that just something that do you put any stock into what happens on the result of a play on the first day of practice?
Absolutely not.
Like, in terms of your team culture, when you bring in a player of Aaron's profile and experience, how do you make sure that you maintain the culture you've always had?
You know, when in Rome, he's going to be Roman. And it's our job to, teach him how we do things. But not only him, guys like Jalen Ramsey and others, man, we got a lot of new significant players. As a coach, I embrace that challenge of educating them not only about the things that we value, but how we go about our business here. They all have been really receptive to it.
Aaron said that his suite mate is DK Metcalf. Was that your choice? Did you pair them up to live together like that?
That seems appropriate, doesn't it?
Jalen Ramsey in the slot today when you guys first came out. Is that something we should read into on day one or not just yet?
You're going to do it anyway, so have at it, man. But get your cameras ready. You're going to see him in a lot of places.
Is Juan Thornhill a more significant guy than he was 6 weeks ago, given those moves?
I think just by virtue of the transaction, that's an obvious answer to that question, certainly.
In the short time you've gotten to know Caleb Johnson since he's come on board since the draft, do you feel like he's got a pretty high floor as a rookie?
He does. He's highly conditioned, and that helps development. When you're in really good shape, you can take additional reps. And reps equals the get better. And so he handled the first leg of it. He's come in really good shape. He's really engaged, and obviously he's got some talent. You guys saw that today.
Mike, obviously OTAs and minicamp as well. Where have you seen Peyton Wilson take a step from 1 to 2?
Man, stay tuned. You know, we got one practice in year two, and so, I'd be making something up if I characterize any development at this juncture, but I'm sure it's going to show itself. He's positioning himself to do so because he's a hard worker. He's got really good football character.
I know you love the heat. How do you think the players seem to handle it today?
I think everybody that's a real competitor appreciates it because they realize you can't run from it. You got to run to it. And when you have a good mindset, man, then it's an asset to you when you get in hot environments.
Joey said in OTAs he was looking forward to some reps against DK. Do you want to see them go up against each other?
I want to see all of those guys compete. You know, everybody going to get their shot at a guy like that. I'm sure Jalen feels the same way. I'm sure Slay feels the same way. I'm sure DK feels the same way. And that's what's great about a camp environment when we're practicing good on good and we take the iron on iron principle to getting better.
Yonah Benton said he thinks he's probably in the best shape he's been. Do you see that from him too? And can drafting a couple guys at that position motivate guys too?
Again, it's early. And so he'll continue to get an opportunity to display that. But certainly talent acquisition is a motivator. It's a natural motivator for everyone.
With a guy like Aaron, how do you balance getting him the reps he needs versus his age? And, when Ben was here, he used to take every other day off or every 3 days off.
It's really simple, man. Different people need different number of reps based on their intellect and experience and so forth. In an environment like this, it's my job to give the guys what they need. The less they need, the more opportunities and reps for those that need additional. And so sometimes I'll take some reps away from him. I'll allocate them to Will Howard, but that's just a natural kind of common sense approach to getting the collective ready.
Mike, last one here.
Mike, when we spoke with Johnny Smith and Will Howard earlier today, they really highlighted the way that Rodgers communicates with them on offense. What have you noticed just in terms of his style of communication?
I really hadn't paid a lot of attention to this point. Certainly not surprised that they have that perspective on him. He's been a good communicator with me. He's been on the job a long time. If you're going to gain cohesion, certainly communication is a component of it.
All right, so Mike Tomlin in midseason form, trying to not really answer questions from reporters there at the end and going to his Tomlinism well about Rodgers adapting to his new team, saying when in Rome, be Roman.
Mm.
Not Roman Anthony, who is...
Not Roman Wilson.
Or Roman Wilson. Roman Anthony, who graduated off the prospect list today, and that made way for Connor Griffin to become the number one prospect in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
A testament to Ben Cherington's drafting.
You ever eat Roman Meal Bread, that brand, growing up?
No.
You ever heard of it?
Nope.
No. I feel like you were a Wonder
Didn't
Bread
Rome
house.
Start because twins were left in the wild and they started
Remus
suckling
and
the teat of a wolf?
I think that's in the official text.
I think that's how it went down.
Is that Remus and Romulus? And then they named him after Romulus?
What happened to Remus? Romulus killed him?
That's a good question. I was trying to think of a city that began with R-E that he could...
Quest Thursday. What do you want us to talk about? 5:30 on Thursdays. We give you four choices. You pick what you want us to debate and discuss. 14.9% said they read what Noah Hyles wrote about O'Neal Cruz and wanted to hear about O'Neal Cruz trade partners. 17.1% said Adam Crowley is not my favorite fan personality. He's in trouble. Tell us why.
Tell me more.
17.1%. 27.7% said that a wrestling icon passed away today, and they wanted us to eulogize the great Hulk Hogan. But with a winning score of 40.3%, our listeners want us to discuss a Steelers wide receiver rumor.
Once again, a massive win for the regular sports story of the day.
Is that what you voted for?
No.
What did you vote for?
Crowley in trouble.
Over the Hulkster.
Yeah, I mean, I would...
You're all hulked out.
I would go on the air if we were going to eulogize Hulk Hogan. I would rip the hell out of him.
Mm.
Pretty bad guy, ultimately. Bad,
right?
bad when he was with the WWE, like back in the day.
Man. Tough on the Hulkster here
bad,
of all days.
Bad about, like, I don't know, 8 to 10 years ago or so. He was in the news for all the wrong reasons. Yeah.
Mm. Well, I'm happy we're not going to do that then.
Yeah, the whole speak ill of the dead thing, I don't really subscribe
to. That would have been hard for us to RIP Hulkamania when you have such harsh takes about his life and career.
And Jesse the Body Ventura, not a fan of his either, so I feel like I'm in good company.
Did Jesse Ventura rip him today?
He's ripped him in the past.
Oh.
Basically called him a rat in the locker room, a tool of Vince McMahon.
Steelers wide receiver rumor. In Miami today, Tua said that Tyreek Hill's relationship with the Dolphins is, quote, a work in progress after Tyreek Hill asked out of Miami this offseason. Fences have not been fully mended there. There is a rumor that when the Steelers landed Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith from the Dolphins, there was at least a conversation there about Hill being in that deal. Not all three, maybe not even two, but all three players were discussed. Hill coming off a down year by his standard. It wasn't long ago he was regarded as the best wide receiver in the NFL. Just a couple years ago, he was trying to track down 2,000 yards in a season.
Mm-hmm.
He is, he's got a cap hit this year of $27.6 million. Dead cap of $56 million. So that would be a big cap penalty for the Dolphins to pay. But it's starting to look more and more there like they're really not that caught up on winning this season. Like that is not really priority one, per se.
Mm-hmm.
That is maybe trying to get like their roster to look different and get rid of some of these guys
retool
that have worn
things.
Out their welcome there, like Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
How would you have felt about a Steelers Tyreek Hill trade?
I'm worried that he might have fallen off a cliff and that last year was like the...
He had Scrubs and Scrubinskis throwing him the ball last year.
I understand that, but I mean, the thing with him was he... So you look at his like games played.
Bless you.
That was more of like a frog in the throat situation, but thank you. That's kind of you. He's only missed, as in terms of just not played in a game, one out of the last four seasons. So you'd say that's a very durable player.
Mm-hmm.
You follow the NFL just as closely, no, more closely than I do. Don't you feel like you've seen stories about him having a nagging hamstring here or like a dinged up ankle there a lot lately?
I feel like the things I read about him most lately are off the field.
Well, there's off the field
stuff. Didn't his house burn down or something
yes.
like that?
I mean, there was like a, how would I term this? Like, I guess a police violence situation where he got pressed to the sidewalk
Yeah, that wasn't his fault, though.
No, it wasn't. I'm just saying that was like one of the most recent things that I
there's a lot about, like, about his kids. He's got seven children.
I mean, he's had some DV situations come up for sure.
Definitely. That's why he was drafted so late.
He had something well after he was drafted that was pretty unflattering that I don't remember the exact details of, but I know it did not reflect well on him. And I guess I wonder, all of that placed to the side for a moment, I look at a player like that who is going to bring baggage with him wherever he goes, and I'm going to say to myself, are you really getting anything but the downside version of this guy anymore, the back nine of Tyreek Hill? Because that's a huge drop-off. I know it's Scrabino's pony, but Jonnu Smith had a hell of a year. I know he's a different kind of player, but like the part of Tyreek Hill's game that's supposed to make him not quarterback-proof, but somebody that could be an asset to one of those guys, those Scrabinos, is get him the ball in some space near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He's lethal, and he wasn't.
His salary jumps up to $30 million next year, and he gets a $5 million roster bonus, so that makes him, you know, a $35, $36 million receiver. You can get out of the contract for like $15 million. So, I mean, that's still a pretty big chunk of money. But, I mean, I'm asking all this out loud because I honestly don't think it would have taken much for the Steelers or any team to just take him off the Dolphins' hands. I mean, clearly things have not been sorted out there, because if they had, Tua would have taken a very different tack to what he said about things. Like, it's still a work in progress seems like a euphemism for it. Things are still pretty effed.
Things are bad and
because
probably not getting better.
If things were good, he would have said as much.
Oh yeah, we're ready to go. He would have given it the big
These guys
rah-rah.
Always put this time of year like a rosy
it's always a rah-rah spin.
Right.
Always.
So if the rah-rah spin is it's a work in progress, that makes
Wouldn't
me
call
think,
it great.
Yeah.
That's like DEFCON 1 if it's this early. Here's the question, though. If every other team is aware of that it's pretty bad there.
Are you going to say, why hasn't anybody gotten him out of there yet?
Don't you think that's always a fair question?
Of course. Man? In a league that's about passing the football?
Yeah. In a league that's about big plays, explosive plays, and breakaway speed. This guy who's led the league in yards per touch three separate times, that number dropped by 3 full yards, which is a lot from last year to the previous year. From 23 to 24. He was at 14.5, led the league, then he was down to 11.4. He strikes me as somebody that, given how he stylistically plays the game, where it's just, once he gets the ball with a little bit of space, he's probably at his peak still the most terrifying player in the league. Once that speed and that quickness in short area goes from like 100% capacity to like 90, I think he's a totally different player. Like, I'm not sure that there's the technician there or like the raw size and physical, you know what I mean? Like being 6'2", 210.
Sure.
That he can fall back on that other guys could. So that would make me very leery. Plus, you add in the fact that you are bringing in the off-the-field Tyreek Hill, and I feel like that's not, a lot of teams might be just saying,
I know, but the
juice is not worth the squeeze.
The flip side of that is, if you get the guy from 2 years ago and you give up almost nothing to get him, it's
you're getting
like,
the best receiver in the league if you get the guy from 2 years ago. And Rodgers has the arm talent to get him the ball, because I will say, if I'm just evaluating him based on, you know, what we see as far as like how he meshed with Tua, there were numerous times that he could have had like a walk-in touchdown and Tua just can't throw it for him.
So Randy Moss got to New England when he was 30. And that's when he had that monster year with Brady.
Yeah.
Hill's going to be 31.
That's what I mean. He's also at an age where...
So, I mean, it could go either way, but I also don't think... He's a Hall of Fame talent. It's not out of the question that he puts it back together this year if he's invested in up for it. I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is somebody should take a shot on him if he's really that discontent there.
Well, I'm looking at teams that would need another receiver. They would never do the trade. The Dolphins would. Wouldn't you say New England would want a guy like
that? Well, yeah, because they've got Diggs and
But they
nobody else really.
I would just say, like, look at your young quarterback and say the guy's super strong armed. Like, get him there. I'm trying to look at other teams that would actually need him and could use him and are contenders. You would.
Buffalo. I mean, why wouldn't Kansas City take
Buffalo,
him back?
Buffalo, Kansas City. Yeah, sure. Would Houston want him?
They've got Nico Collins.
Tank Dell coming off that bad.
He's not playing this year.
So,
they brought Kirk
in. He's done.
They traded for Kirk. And they gave Higgins guaranteed money as a second-round pick. So, I don't know. Probably not. But, like, any team could use Tyreek Hill if he's...
Couldn't a team use... Couldn't the like, guy wouldn't he was be terrifying with the Rams if that was plausible in that offense with that arm on that quarterback? Like, if you're trying to find fits for him...
I mean, I'd have to... I'd change my outlook on the Steelers somewhat if all of a sudden I had DK Metcalf and Tyreek Hill here. I'm not going to lie to you.
My gun to my head, though, if you asked me, do I think he's more likely to have a major bounce-back year this year or that last year was a sign that, like, the beginning of the end? I actually do think it's beginning of the end.
I think it's dependent on situation. I think it's who he plays for.
I know, but even in admitting that it's dependent on situation, I think sort of gives up... Not gives up the game, but... tells me that he's closer to over the hill, whatever, pun not intended there. I saw somebody, our guy Sports Vids, make the Tyreek is over the hill joke, so I was subconsciously thinking about it. But I think if you're saying it's situation dependent, then he's clearly not the dude that he was. That's my point.